And this is WHCC in Holland. It's time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our number here, 395-1450. Our guest this morning is Superintendent of Schools Brian Davis. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Juke.
Glad to have you here again this morning. And you were kind of busy this morning, weren't you?
It's been a busy morning since about 4:30 a.m. as we experienced another wonderful snowfall here in West Michigan. This was one where I think the forecast was right on. They said the snow was going to start arriving about noon yesterday, and sure enough, I was out filling out my gas tank, and it started to get much colder, and the snow started to fall, and resulted in us needing to cancel our school board meeting. We haven't had to do that in a number of years. Visibility was quite low, and then all of the sidewalks got plowed back in again, and some of our side roads and county roads are still being plowed out right now. So resulted in, unfortunately, another snow day today.
All right. What's that got to do with the snow days schedule?
Well, we are currently now in the need to make up snow days. We're given 6 days as a forgiveness. Today was day 7, so we will be working to identify how we're going to make that up and communicating that to parents during the goal would be to communicate that during parent-teacher conferences that are coming up in the next couple of weeks. Looking at what the different options are, and certainly there's the chance, as we're only midway through February, that there might be additional days that we may have to add or consider should we have some more snow days off. But I did do a snow day challenge today to students and posted some information on our website to hopefully, as they're stuck in the house again, to consider doing some academic things.
So. Yeah. You want to tell about some of those?
Well, sure. I actually got this idea from one of my colleagues who tried it and had a good response, and so I thought, well, let's throw it out there. So I used Twitter as a main means of communications. That's a lot of students follow that, and a lot of our parents follow Twitter now. It's B. Davis HPS for Holland Public Schools, and it's a quick, easy way to communicate out information. But anyway, I just put 5 different opportunities for the Snow Day Challenge, and the best entries that are turned in today by 4 o'clock will be reevaluated and look at lunch or breakfast with me or possibly some iTunes gift cards. But one is related to the Olympics, for students to select a gold medalist from the Sochi Winter Games that represents the United States and to talk about what's the story behind the story of that athlete or athletes if it was a pair or a team and what's made them an Olympic champion, what's the specific characteristics that make them stand out as an athlete, and what perhaps can others learn from their story. So what does it take to be a true champion? And talking about character and integrity and perseverance and just true grit of practice day in and day out. So students could do a PowerPoint. They could do an iMovie. They could, if they're a younger student, they could do a short story or a drawing. Certainly, as we continue our recognition of Black History Month, we've been recognizing a different historical figure every day within our schools. And one of the topics would be to take a look at an individual from African-American history and how has that person, even during their time period, if they're no longer with us, how did they demonstrate 21st century skills? How were they creative? How were they innovative for their time? What kind of problem solving did they do? How were they critical thinkers? How were they even a global thinker, perhaps, during the work that they did? And what contributions did they make? So kind of a social studies connection with that one. Certainly, you know, from a historical standpoint, this is a unique year for snow. We've had record snowfall here in the city of Holland.
Yes.
And many people, even as we were talking prior to the show, remember the snow falls back in the 70s and 80s and how with the snowbanks so high as they are today, people used to put styrofoam balls or tennis balls on the top of their car antennas so you could see people pulling out.
Can't do that anymore.
The challenge is we don't have antennas on most cars today.
Right.
And even walking along the sidewalks are pretty high as well. So one of the other challenges was to take a look at in the history of snowfall currently and over the years and put together some graphical information looking at temperature snowfalls and even encouraging students to talk to their grandparents or other family members. What was it like when you were in school? What was it like in the 70s and 80s? Perhaps they have some old photos or things that could be shared. And for those that really want to be creative, I've talked about some of your best picture of your best snow sculpture. There's extra bonus points for the red power H's that might show up throughout the city of Holland today. We don't want any maroon H's, just the red power H's. I think it would be good.
Right.
And then I've also got one with respect to social media. So just some ways to stay engaged. I know that there's a lot of different ways that families try to engage kids, but I thought I'd put the snow day challenge out there and see what the response might be.
Okay. And we'll look forward to school day. Snow days.
No, because when we have to start going in the summer, I think people might be a little challenged by that.
Hey, if you'd like to talk to the superintendent this morning, that number is 395-1450, and we're open for business. Well, I know a lot goes into closing the school. It's a difficult decision to make.
It is. We, as area superintendents, start really communicating around 5 a.m. We do a lot of calling back and forth or even texting on our cell phones. There's a number of factors that are taken into consideration. It can be very different from one part of the city to the other, from the rural areas in Zeeland or West Ottawa to what we have in downtown Holland. And, you know, we look at temperatures, we look at visibility. For me specifically, the conditions of sidewalks, and really appreciate the residents of the city. It is the responsibility of homeowners to get out and
right.
clean their sidewalks. The city does help with that considerably. With about 70% of our students either walking or driving to school, it makes it somewhat unique. And there's a difference between the city of Holland and the townships in the county. Our district covers those main areas. So out by me, when I finally got on the road to come into work this morning, my road still hadn't been plowed. And there was a good fair amount of snow on the roads.
I'll bet.
In some places, only one lane and some drifting out there. So certainly visibility, temperatures. What's the projection for more snow? Now, today, you look outside now, the sun is shining. It's going to hit above the 30s
right.
and have a good snow melt. Tomorrow, we may be looking at a potential fog delay as the temperatures rise and we
Very
get
true.
A lot of moisture in the
yeah.
air. So parents should be prepared for that. So there are a number of factors that are taken into consideration.
All right. Very good. Let's get away from the local thing. Talk a little bit about what's going on in Lansing.
Lansing. There's a lot happening in Lansing right now. Certainly, if individuals watch the governor's State of the State address, he put forward his fiscal budget for 2015, and we certainly appreciate what he made with recommendations with respect to schools.
Yeah.
There's still a liability with respect to retirement costs. That's part of our Constitution guaranteed. It's still a significantly underfunded component of the overall general budget at the state level. And so the state is continuing to use funds to help offset retirement rate increases for local school districts. So we appreciate that, and that's a significant help. He's looked at a small contribution to increase our overall operational funds. On top of that, that equates to about $54 for Holland Public Schools, or about just under $250,000 for us overall operationally. While we appreciate that, that certainly doesn't help solve the other cost of living increases that we've had, the increases in fuel, the increases in heat, and so on, especially if we have experienced this year. So many school districts across the state are still operating in deficit, even with this additional assistance. So as we put together our budgets, we're going to once again have to continue to sharpen the pencil and say, what is it that we continue to do, and where can we continue to make reductions as needed. So now it'll be up to the House and Senate to take a look at his budget and to take a look at what they're going to propose, and hopefully have a budget in place by June timeframe. A lot of talk in Lansing right now about how do they grade schools. Once again, they're looking at changing the grading system. Just when we get one system figured out and they realize that there are some inherent flaws with it, there's discussion about changing that. Teacher evaluation is a big component right now. How do we effectively evaluate teachers, hold them accountable to performance and assessments and growth over time? The state adopted the Common Core assessment last year. Now they're trying to figure out which assessment to adopt. And with the assessment, then ties into the evaluation piece. So there's a lot of discussion around quality within schools. How do we effectively grade schools based upon performance and growth? And how do we measure the performance of employees, teachers, administrators, superintendent, all based upon student performance? So I think we'll have a lot of further discussion in Lansing around those targets. Had breakfast with our area legislators yesterday at the governmental affairs breakfast with the West Coast Chamber, and they're all intent to try to make sure they do these things right and understand them well and make the best decisions that they can.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate them turning to the education community, too, and asking for our input.
Yeah.
That's really important.
Well, let's talk a little bit about sports and the Holland Christian Holland game.
Yeah. You know, it was nice to be able to split a victory between each of us within about a week period of time.
Yes.
We were at the Civic Center and were able to pull out a victory there and on their home field, home court, and then they came into the Dutch Dome and were able to take a victory there. But the real winners that night were the student councils from each of the two respective schools. They did a Keeping the Love local fundraiser. to help raise funds for Escape Ministries, Heights of Hope, the Community Action House, and Hand to Hand. And they had T-shirts, they had a lot of carnival games, they had raffles, and a lot of the proceeds went then to support those four local causes. All great causes that work with Holland Public Schools, and we really appreciate they raised a significant amount of money with that. And the Dutch Dome was rocking that night. We had a capacity crowd, and yeah, we'd always like the basketball game to work Holland Public way, but you know, as I always say, you're guaranteed a Holland victory, whether it's Holland Christian or Holland Public. So it's a great night. It's a great night to see a lot of alumni too.
Yeah, well, they're always pretty well attended.
Very well attended.
Yeah. 395-1450 if you'd like to talk to the superintendent this morning. And Bill 21 Construction winding down.
It's starting to wind down. Our last project bids are out on the street right now, actually. That will be for, it's called the A-Wing, which will be the administrative addition to the high school campus, where the current, I shouldn't say the current cafeteria, where the old cafeteria, the students are now in the new cafeteria, the new student commons area, where the semicircle old cafeteria used to be on the corner of Van Ralty and 24th. Construction will begin on that right around spring break time. They'll be taking some of the insides out, and then following tulip time, we'll actually begin doing some demolition there, and we'll be set to moving our administrative offices, some training rooms, our board meeting room, and so on. We'll be eventually housed there sometime this fall. We're probably looking at an October time frame of actually moving in. We've been able to be on vision, on time, and on budget with all of our projects. So we do have a little bit of contingency left over that we have some other priority projects that we wanted to get some work done, finish up some things that we didn't think we were going to be able to do. So the board will be reviewing all those projects in March. And, construction will be winding down pretty soon. And we really appreciate the ongoing support of our community, the patience with the construction. It's been a long process. The patience for our students. Our senior class at Holland High School have had construction going on there and changes every year since they've been there. But they've certainly been able to reap the benefits of it now, and it's just a great facility that the community can be very proud of.
Well, I don't think anybody expected it to go just like that. You know, it takes time.
It takes time. It's hard to believe this coming May it'll be 4 years already since we had the election. It really seems like it was just yesterday.
It does.
And the planning for this began in 2007. So it's been a seven-year process and journey, but I think for those that have been out, it was great to see everybody at the celebration open house at the high school and a lot of alumni from many different decades, and everyone very pleased and appreciative of the work that was done, the scale that it was done at, and really felt that there was a great value for their taxpayer dollar.
Okay. And updating the strategic plan... You got something going there?
Sure. The any good organization always wants to have a strategic plan that guides their vision and guides the work that they're doing. And the Board of Education is in the process right now of reviewing our current strategic plan. It expires in 2015, so we're in the process of updating it. It's been great to look back on where we were at in 2010 and all the things that we've accomplished, but that work continues. And so there'll be a greater emphasis as we move forward on academic achievement and programming, looking to make sure that we're monitoring that achievement and getting the success that we desire and do. Certainly looking at, from a facility standpoint, ensuring that now that we have our facilities in place, how do we make sure that we're adequately maintaining them and keeping their longevity and life moving forward. Technology and the infrastructure related to that is going to be an ongoing component. Finance is always a piece. Any strategic plan, you need to make sure that you can maintain operational viability. But a new component that's added to it is with respect to culture and really trying to have a better understanding of who we are as a school system and who we are now as a changing community. The community of Holland continues to change. There's been significant changes across our community in the past 10 years. So what does that mean? How do we really appreciate what... different ethnicities and religions and socioeconomic status and who we are as people in our culture, how can that very positively contribute to who we are? And so we're going through an equity survey right now, an equity audit, and trying to identify through teacher and administrator interviews, parent interviews, student interviews, surveys, are there any barriers to equity and access within our system? whether that be from a structural perspective or an institutional piece. There may be things that we're not consciously aware of that are leading to certain individuals not being as successful as they can. And so we are working with Michigan State University to conduct this study and to learn from it and to say, okay, how can we do better? It's always about continuous improvement. And so we hope to be able to have that report finalized by the end of May, early June, excuse me, and be able to use that as part of our strategic plan, right, too, to say, what further staff development can we do? How do we look at accessibility to different academic programs, to extracurricular activities? What does it mean with respect to discipline and how we just interact and engage as a community?
I'm always amazed when I get around a little bit, talking to people and say, well, we just moved here maybe 15 years ago or 10 years ago or something like that. And I always ask them, well, where did you move from?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's always kind of interesting.
Very interesting. There's a lot of young families moving into the Holland area.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of young families specifically move into the historic neighborhood in downtown Holland. And that's exciting. And we have a lot of alumni who are also moving back to the area, which is really exciting too. And as we talk with the younger generation of parents, there are very specific things that they are looking for. They're looking for schools that really emphasize more cultural, global thinking, and to be able to say, how is my student going to be prepared to work in an increasingly global community? They're really looking for different language options for their students, whether it be two-way bilingual immersion programs like we have at Holland, to immersion programs. They're really looking at technology and depth in academic and extracurricular programming. So it's great to talk to these young families and see what their vision is and what they want for their students and their overall school experience.
Okay. I'm going to take time out here for some weather, and I think you'll like it.
I hope so. Is it going to get up to 60 yet?
Not quite.
Not quite.
Holland's hometown weather brought to you by the Wooden Shoe Restaurant, now featuring the Eggs Oscar Benedict. And the weather outlook is for decreasing cloudiness today with a high of 38. Snow showers tonight redevelop overnight with a low of 30. And times of sun and clouds tomorrow with a high of 35. And then on Thursday, we get the mix of rain or freezing rain and 41 degrees. So that's what we're looking at.
Well, that's about a 50-degree difference in temperature from last week.
Yeah.
So we'll take that. Although I didn't like the freezing rain side. This is certainly not something that we do well with.
You never know exactly how that's going to hit us.
This is true. This is true.
Sometimes it's just a few pelting bits of frozen material, but other times it could be really a half-inch thick, freezing rain all over.
Well, it's been interesting to watch, you know, the way weather impacts life overall and schools in Atlanta and how they've had to respond to different weather they're not used to how the weather is impacting the Olympic Games, having 60-degree temperatures. And I forget, one of the athletes who was doing some skiing was talking about the snow was like skiing in mashed potatoes. So I'm not sure how they could make and draw that analogy if they've done that before. But, the weather certainly changes the way in which daily operations
take shape. It does indeed. All right, let's talk a little bit about the early college program, shall we?
Sure. We've talked a little bit about early college before, and we are hoping to get board approval here in the next few weeks from seven different school districts here in the Holland area. A great collaborative with Holland Public and Holland Christian, West Ottawa and Zeeland, Hamilton and Saugatuck, and Black River. And what we're doing is taking a look at identifying a means for students, particularly first-generation college students, to earn an associate's degree while they are still in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So students would be dually enrolled in high school and in college. And working with our business community, we've identified a couple of different pathways to get us started. One would be an advanced manufacturing degree, or associate's degree, excuse me, and then a general associate's degree, both of which would provide students and equip them with the skills necessary to enter into the workforce here, specifically in the Holland Zeeland area, and or take that associate's degree and then be able to apply that to go on to a four-year university for greater study. Basically, what happens in that model is beginning their sophomore year in high school, students begin to take some college-level classes. They might have one or two their sophomore year, and then as they transition over time to their senior year, the bulk of their classes count for both high school and college credit. And then students come back one more year during their 13th year and finish that off. It's typically about a 90-credit degree program. What's nice about the early college model is that while students are enrolled in their public school system, the schools are able to use the foundation grant that we receive from the state of Michigan to pay for that tuition.
Mm-hmm.
And so in essence, I don't want to say it becomes a completely free education for the students, because there are some minimal costs with respect to books and those kind of things, but it significantly pays for that. And so we're looking forward to launch that this coming fall across the community. We have ideas to expand it across other potential areas to get an associate's degree, but we started with advanced manufacturing because that's a significant component of the economic structure here in the Holland Zeeland area. And our business community partners have been very supportive on this endeavor, both from a time and energy and resource standpoint with personnel and meetings, but also some of them have contributed financially to this cause too. So we really appreciate that. Holland is going to be partnering with Ferris State University this summer as well with a program for students between their junior and senior year to take college classes, specifically for Ferris State, but they could be transferable. And these are geared more for students who are an average student and may need to take some remedial classes once they got to college, but they take them between their junior and senior year instead, so then when they get to college, they wouldn't have to take those remedial classes. It helps them with their math. It helps them with their reading and writing skills. Also helps them with the cultural transition from high school to post-secondary. And Ferris State has offered this to us and are actually going to be, this first couple of years with our pilot, paying for the tuition. So it'll be a no-cost piece for the students and a no-cost piece for the district. So we really see greater partnerships evolving with our post-secondary institutions across the board. Grand Rapids Community College has been a great partner with us here in the city with Holland New Tech, where our students there have been duly enrolled. Our senior class this year at Holland New Tech, about 92% of the students have earned college credit so far, 92% have been already accepted to college, and 92% of them have some form of college scholarship mm-hmm. in February. So that's pretty exciting to see that component.
Takes a lot of studying, though.
Takes a lot of studying, a lot of work, and a lot of commitment, and assisting students to see what their possibilities are. We know that not everyone is going to go on to college, and that's okay. We need to prepare them for careers. We need to prepare them with life skills, too. And so we're trying to look at what some of those other career options are as part of our strategic plan, too.
Okay, before we get too far along, we want to talk about the school events that are coming up that are of special interest to both parents and young children.
Yes, well, it is time to swing in, like a monkey, I suppose, to our annual Jungle Adventure Party.
Wow.
Yes.
Sounds good.
It's a lot of fun. All of the workers dress up in jungle gear. We have gorillas and snakes and turtles, and the Outdoor Discovery Center brings in animals. And this is geared towards students who are going to be enrolling in kindergarten next year, this coming fall. So it's for 4 and 5-year-olds and their parents. They can come on over. It is on actually this week, Thursday, February 20th, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., and this event takes place at East K7, that's over on 24th Street, just west of US 31. Plenty of parking in the front and back, lots of activities, there's free food, free games. If you're going to come out and check out Holland Public Schools, meet with teachers, meet with curriculum, and understand the program, you can enroll that night as well. Just bring your birth certificate and immunization records. There'll be a lot of people on site to welcome you in. And you have to be 5 by October 1 to start school this year.
Okay.
Now, if you have a 3- or 4-year-old, we have a special swim into preschool event taking place. This will be on next Tuesday, February 25, from 4:30 to 6 p.m., and that will be at our Early Childhood Center at Maplewood School at 925 Central Avenue. So two different opportunities to take a look at your young children. It's a snow day today, but we're already planning and looking forward to our next school year. So we're starting to recruit and round up our young preschoolers and our kindergartners for next fall.
Okay. Speaking of snow day, let's talk a little bit about your balanced calendar idea.
Yeah, we have been studying what it would mean or what it would look like to change our school calendar. And we've been studying now for about the past year what a balanced calendar would mean. And basically what a balanced calendar does is it takes the same number of school days you have now and spreads them differently throughout the calendar year, mm-hmm. avoiding the significant break between June and September. We've had some teachers taking a look at this. We've been doing some surveying. We're gathering more information. There are a lot of other area school districts that are taking a look at what might this mean. No decision has been made. Certainly we need to do a lot more study, have a lot more community involvement with that, because when you talk about changing the calendar, it impacts a number of things across the board, from especially here in West Michigan with the way the seasons run. But what we do know is there is a significant summer loss that we experience with students learning from June to September. When we take a look at testing students in the spring, where they're at, and we give them assessments in the fall, we see a significant decline in reading skills, in math skills, in writing skills, and so on. So we're starting to say, as we have greater increases in accountability and expectations for learning, should we take a look at doing the calendar differently? Now, there's a myth that we're on this agrarian calendar because of all the farming that we do. But I think when you sit back and think about it, most of the crops are planted in the spring. You right. wait for many of them to grow in the summer, and then you harvest them in the fall. The calendar was kind of set up this way back in the Industrial Revolution model to provide relief from a lot of the factory workers in the big cities so they could escape out during the heated summer months and go out to the country areas and cool off, and also to be closer to lakes and those kind of things. So there's a little bit of a misunderstanding of how the calendar was originally set. But we know it would be a change if we did it. The board has talked about it, whether it would be a pilot, whether it would be all K-7s, whether it would be a district-wide change, whether it's something we look at from a county perspective. The governor has talked about it. There's monies that have been made available potentially in the budget that he's adopted. In talking with our state legislators recently, certainly they are interested in what this could mean as we talk about overall achievement and should it be changed. I've heard from parents on both sides. I've heard parents that say, I'd really like it. I've heard from parents that say, you know what, the idea makes a lot of sense. I'm not sure it'd be the right piece for my family.
Mm-hmm.
There's about 38 school districts in the state of Michigan right now that operate a balanced calendar in some way, shape, or form. There are a few others that are set to go online next year. Where my sister teaches, they're moving to a balanced calendar this coming fall. So it's something we're exploring. Certainly not something we've made any decision on, and we're going to need a lot more community involvement and discussion before any change like that's made.
Well, I suppose you'd welcome involvement from the parents. And
absolutely. Parents, all of our community partners. I mean, when we think about that, it reaches across Kids Hope to summer rec programs, to the CASA program at Hope College. There's just a number of programs across our community, and it would cause us all to think a little bit differently about how we do school.
We're out of time. Thanks so much for being here.
It's my pleasure, Juke.